Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
Everybody, this is Anissa.
And this is Ellen. This is Anissa, Ellen, Ron. We're giggling.
We are giggling.
Why are we giggling?
Because it's what we do, but also because we're like happy as could be sitting with the woman that we're sitting.
I know. She's beautiful.
You know, and you know how you say that whole girl crush thing? This goes so far beyond
girl
crush.
It is. It's so far
because
beyond girl crush.
Girl crush to me is...
I kind of stalk her on Instagram.
Yes.
A little bit. I do.
When you have a girl crush, to me, that's a lot of times it's something singular, mm-hmm, or something you might crush on their legs, or you might crush on things. For me, this is... it's so much more than that.
It is.
I have this appreciation of womanhood when I'm in, mm-hmm, your presence.
I do.
Powerful womanhood.
Wow.
And I love it. And so many of the listeners that know us are going to be like literally knowing that we've got her here.
Well, exactly. So I'm going to say two things before we let her talk. The first thing is we know her from the gym. Mainly she takes our classes, she's been at the gym, she's amazeballs, but we follow her on Instagram. Ugh. And I think she's the only person that could videotape herself. She does these little, what do you call them,
vignettes.
She posts these things on her Instagram story. This is why I say that I stalk her, because I'm constantly waiting for the next one where she will talk to us. And she will just talk about how great it is, life is. Get out there. Be active. God is good. And she's the only person I know that could put that phone in her face and talk about it the way she does. And it's amazeballs. But I also will say that Sunday, I was folding laundry. And I always watch Law & Order SVU. And I looked up, and this person that we have here had been killed. She was a therapist, I believe, and I think Michael Rapaport may have killed her.
Oh my
on
gosh!
Law and Order.
Was
SVU.
She chalk outlined?
She was laying. She was underneath a blanket, and then they showed her driver's license. Yes. So, who do we have?
Oh my gosh!
I had to videotape it. Back up my TV. Videotape it and take a picture.
We have Lisa Arendelle with us.
Yes, we're so excited.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited.
I'm so excited to be here with both of you. Really, really, because you're my instructors. Mm-hmm. Because for those of you that do the workout thing with other people, mm-hmm, I it's so important what you both do. It's so important. They sent some survey, I remember a couple years ago, mm-hmm, from the particular gym we're at. I don't know if y'all talk about
that. Yeah, you can say it. You can say it.
So Lifetime sent a survey, and I said, you know, I've been here X number of years, and bar none, the very best thing about this very high-end gym,
mm-hmm,
very, very high-end, the best thing about this gym is the quality of your instructors.
Mm. Like, I love that.
It's
I do
really
too.
It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything. You always give love and encouragement, and you teach, and you just make us want to be better. And it's just it's everything.
And if you have ever been in the class with this lady, oh, you get the crowd going. I mean,
she does. I've taken so many beautiful photographs of her.
Oh my gosh. And just so how she encourages everyone else in the room. Like, I could take a 5-minute break from encouraging because I got Lisa in the class. You do my job, girl. But yeah, it's so good because you really, that's your community.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And people ask all the time, oh, why don't you teach? Or do you teach? Mm-hmm. Or you're a teacher,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely, you could. Yes.
And I say consistently, So working out for me started because I needed something I could begin and end in 60 minutes as a mother of two. So it really started as a mental thing because when we're moms, we start 18 to 20 things a day. And at the end of the day, none of them are done.
Right.
And if they were done, like let's say you did successfully unload the dishwasher, no one would know that because now the sink is full. And and so I needed something that I could measure, that I could say, I began, I had an idea, I executed the idea, and I got to the end of the idea. So that when that terrible question comes at the end of the day, what did you do today? That I knew I worked out. And
that is
where it
so
started.
Profound. I can't tell you how many days when my kids were little that question came to me when I was still in my pajamas because I couldn't even, I didn't even get that done. I didn't even freaking get dressed.
Absolutely. It's real. It's very real.
And it drags you down.
It really drags you down. And then if you have a partner and your partner walks in the door from, you know, whatever the paying gig is that they're doing and they say to you, they don't even have to say it. If I'm really honest, they don't even have to say, what
they
did you do today? Them walking in the door from whatever it is they've been doing all day really can make you feel like, what am I doing with my life? And especially because in our culture, we haven't gotten to the level yet where we really lift up the caregivers who are raising the next citizens of the world.
Right.
Like, it is such a valuable job, but I did not grow up understanding that children like my son and my daughter do not happen. That's not, they don't just happen. Right? Articulate, intelligent people who are also loving and compassionate citizens, that's
molded.
Like molded exactly. Every day. And it might be in our pajamas that we're molding it, right? Because we're giving them attention and.
Right.
So just so you know, listeners, ladies, gentlemen, that working out thing, that 60 minutes, I finished something. I started and finished. This is the other thing. When I'm in the gym, I cannot think of any other thing except what I am executing in the moment. I don't really have other things like that in my life, right? Like, I mean, God really has to fight with me to focus when I'm reading the Bible. Like he's like, babe, you want to get back to what we were talking about here? Oh, you're praying and now you're thinking about the shopping list, Lisa? Great.
Right.
Like, you know, and again, I know he's delighted in us. He's delighted in me thinking about the shopping thing, but I'm not. I feel like, oh, I'm distracted. But in the gym,
It's 100% focus while you're there.
Oh, I have always said that exercise, especially some of the stuff that you're doing where your heart rate's really high or it's you're really where even yoga takes a ton of focus.
Absolutely.
It's meditation because that's all it is focus on one thing. Even if I'm focusing on how much this sucks, you can't think of anything else. It's meditation. It's so good.
Right. And it's,
it is good.
It's present, right? My desire this year has been, I want to live in the present. I struggle with the past. I worry about what doesn't even exist in the future. And all the joy and the grace and the beauty that's right in front of me, like, leaks out because I'm not present.
No.
So right now, sitting with you, I'm paying attention to you. I'm paying attention to you both. I'm noticing how beautiful you are. I'm noticing how much attention you're giving me, how you're lifting me up. I'm in, and I don't lack anything right now.
Right.
So I'm really thankful.
And that's difficult for a lot of people to do. I mean, it's difficult for me to do at times, especially at work. You know, when you're behind a computer and somebody comes up, I try very, very hard to stop typing and looking at my email and just turn and talk, you know, to just give that person the space.
You're awesome at that.
I had to teach myself to do it because somebody would come up and talk to me and I wasn't honoring what they needed, whatever it was that they needed, especially if it was just to catch up for a second, because I'm looking at my email, I'm trying to, oh, quickly, let me do this really quickly. And it's disrespectful, I think. And you look back at the end of the day and you feel bad because you didn't make, you know, you have to make those connections and you feed each other's souls. And who knows what you can gain from that moment when you're just being
everything.
Know? Everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, when you do stop and you honor that person's in front of you, you are elevating that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And you're elevating it to the way that God would want us to relate to each other, because you just said it. You're having a soulful moment with the person. Even if that person came up just to spend a minute, what'd you do over the weekend? You can elevate that conversation by being present in that conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I find I ask myself to be present because I don't know what the person is in the midst of.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we will remain on the superficial level if people allow us.
Mm-hmm.
And I find amongst my friends, I'm known as somebody that you don't want to stop by and say hi if you don't want to tell the truth.
Right.
Because I'm going to call you, not call you out, but I'm going to want to see what's really happening because I want to hear, I want to help, I want to...
Right.
Connect.
Mm-hmm. And if something's hurting you and I see you're carrying it by yourself, and I can only see it if I'm paying attention.
Right.
Right? So, and I feel like that's particularly true in places like the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in the gym, we really can just come for the class. Mm-hmm. But I know in that gym, so many of us are medicating pain, medicating sadness, medicating disappointment, medicating fear, medicating.
Absolutely.
Right? And that when I've had those moments where I've asked someone while they're putting their step down next to me or... Like when I've said, hey, how are you? And really asked the question, there have been moments over the years where you just see the tears well up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just see, and they're putting down their step. And you ask a real question and they sense that you really want the answer. Mm-hmm. And you just see the tears. And the class is about to start. And if the tears aren't falling over yet, I found... I'm okay if I can hug you.
Right.
And hug you and I can just say, let's do this class. And if you want to talk after, I'm so happy to talk.
Right.
Right. And that just helps us get through the 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But you miss it if you're just, not paying attention. Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. I mean, we, as instructors, part of our job is to make sure that everybody that comes in is acknowledged and, ready for class, but is acknowledged, because it's not just about teaching the folks in your class. It's about getting to know you. It's about, because that whole cliche of you don't know what folks need, what they're going through, what you can give them at any particular moment when they come in to your particular class. So it's super important, I think, to just be focused and genuine. And I try my very best as I'm walking around to say, hey, how are you? Especially if I follow somebody on Facebook or Instagram, I'll say, how is your dog? Or how did your daughter get off to college? So it's just those little moments. And obviously there's so many people in class. You can't go through to everybody, but I try to make sure that I hit everybody as class comes. Mm-hmm. And then you get those. I mean, so many times I came in, I just, to see you, I just need a hug. And then you give the hug and then you feel like,
I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it at least for 60 more minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's all we need. Like if I have mm-hmm. to stop every 60 minutes,
right.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, I know that I know doing mm-hmm. my workouts, which is why I'm always encouraging people to work out, is that that helped me survive.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me have joy in the midst of great sorrow. Mm-hmm. It helped me to remember that I'm powerful even when I feel mm-hmm. powerless in certain areas of my life. I think it translates into when we walk out of that mm-hmm. door and we walk into the rest of our lives, something about the power in that room walks with us.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
I absolutely agree with you. I do. I mean, just watching her talk, it's like butter.
But yeah, like I've been on my own for the past 5 months running
mm-hmm.
and then I'll talk to the people after the run.
Mm-hmm. I love them.
And And, you know, when we're running, I think mm-hmm. about other, I think about stuff when mm-hmm. I'm running. But people do need to know that when they're rolling over in the bed, mm-hmm. don't just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of your physical, but because of your emotional, mm-hmm. mental. The physical is totally fringe mm-hmm. benefit.
It is.
And it's great to have a fringe benefit that
right.
people audibly say, damn, you look yeah. fly. You
yeah,
know,
that's
know.
Right. Exactly. It's beautiful.
But what's really great is that in my brain, I feel like I made a decision, I executed it, mm-hmm. and it made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I executed it with a bad attitude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Right? Well, yep. I know you all have to teach with a bad yeah. attitude sometimes in your heart. Like in
your
heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your heart, but then you get up on that stage.
Usually by the time the warm-up's over, whatever funk I came in with is gone. But there are times where there's a funk. There's even times with once you step in the door of the gym, the funk happens after you get there.
Well, and there are times when the funk is there and it's you just, for some reason, just can't get rid of it. You know, I mean, like you just can't.
And it just,
And you do what you do.
You soldier through
because mm-hmm.
there's people.
Well, you tell the truth. So I follow you all on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
And when you're telling the truth, I find myself thinking, wow, I really need to be brave also and mm-hmm. tell the truth. Because after I read certain things that you've shared, you know, I think, now the last thing. I am not thinking, oh, she's so weak that she shared that. I'm actually thinking, wow, how powerful and strong. And how she's sharing her experience with me is making me feel more able to deal with what I have to deal with. And also, it just makes you accessible,
mm-hmm.
accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me that the teachers on stage are women
mm-hmm.
who struggle and still show up.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle and still show up. I think that's huge.
It is huge. We were talking about that. So we were talking Monday. I'll tell my little story really quickly. We can talk about it. Monday, I went in to teach, and I didn't post this in public. I posted it in the private raw group. I went in to teach at a gym, and I was body shamed by another instructor, by a male instructor, on Monday. And I'm not going to tell the details, but he basically told me that as a fitness instructor, I needed to be fit. I needed to look fit because we were role models for the people in our classes. So the words that he said didn't upset me because I really don't care what he thinks. He doesn't know my story. But what upset me the most was the fact that he thought that that is who we are, that who we're supposed to be, and that he thought he was doing me a favor to tell me that. And so I do what Jarvis Landry, who's a professional football player, does. I blessed him. It's like, you know, bless your heart, bless him. You know, go teach your class, have a good class. But then it made me angry, because if he thinks that about me, you know, what does he think about these people that are coming in that are asking us for help, that are, you know, needing some motivation, needing whatever it is that they need from us? So we had a huge discussion about it within the group. You know, everybody was upset. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, well, why didn't you say this? No, because, A, he was about to go teach class and there were people standing there. And I will address it with him. I have no problem addressing it with him. I actually went to find him after class so that I could talk to him. But he was already gone. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten comments before from members in class about, you know, and if you, anybody who knows my story is, you know, I'm struggling with menopause. It's been a terrible journey for the last year of my life. But where, you know, as a fitness instructor and being an influencer at the gym, and to have to come in every day that I teach and get up on stage and have, you know, and then to have somebody tell me this on Monday, who is another instructor, mm-hmm. I was thrown for a little bit of a loop, I think. You know, it was I was hurt and I was angry, and but we're normal, we're human, you know, we're like, I've never ever thought of myself as being this, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I'm not Shanti, I'm not any of that, you know, but it takes a lot. You know, we were talking about being in the present moment and focusing. When you teach classes, you're in the present moment, but you are focusing on 5 gazillion things, because A, you've got every person that's in your class, but B, you've got your choreography and you've got your music and you've got your smile and you've got to make sure this, that, and the other. So it was, you know, it's to think that people think that we always have it together. That's wrong.
It's why, well, I don't teach.
Yeah. But
I don't teach because mm-hmm. the gym is the place where I allow myself to be right. selfish.
Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. I think,
and
too,
y'all are the opposite of that when you're doing yeah. what you do.
And I think too, that if every single instructor out there, whatever image he had mm-hmm. in his mind, whatever mm-hmm. he had decided was the label, if every instructor was like that, how would we serve our community? Mm-hmm. Because there needs to be someone who everyone relates to. You know, I think about, I certainly have my own persona when I'm an instructor. I don't instruct like Ellen does. Mm-hmm. You know, Ellie and Allie and Kelly, who do the Club Vibe thing, mm-hmm. they have this amazing gift that anyone who walks into their studio will never feel judged, mm-hmm. always feels welcomed. And what does that have to do with my flesh mm-hmm. and the shape that my body looks? What mm-hmm. what does any of those things in serving my community, how is the form in which I walk around in terribly important? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do think I need to have good form, right? Mm-hmm. Just like if you're going to teach French, you better be able to pronounce the words, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be a level of knowing my craft mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I have to keep the room safe mm-hmm. and entertain some. What does that have to do with the fact that I've got cellulite?
Right. Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. And the fact that half the class has cellulite.
Right.
And that they need to see there's a reason to show up. Mm-hmm. I am not the only one. I'm not by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge part of my body that I am empowering that has nothing to do with my cellulite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My heart is being mm-hmm. empowered every time I do this class.
Right.
And I need that. Mm-hmm. And it powers me through the rest of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe
with
it's
my cellulite. Like,
who cares? And maybe it's about being next to the people in the room. Maybe that's mm-hmm. the only time that you have interaction.
Right.
Right. Maybe you care for your children, or maybe you have a parent at home that you're caring for, or you have mm-hmm. who knows what. So that's your saving grace time. Do you honestly think that if I'm carrying an extra 5 or 10 pounds around that I can't lead a class?
Right.
That is, it says so much more about him. And I understand that the person who said mm-hmm. that to you, that you bless him, because obviously he's got some issues. But I think there's a wider problem that we have, this fixation that our body is everything. And I loved what you were saying before we started taping, Lisa, about how you're really coming into this awareness mm-hmm. of there being more than just pieces of you mm-hmm. individually, but that there's mm-hmm. a wholeness. You're coming mm-hmm. into this awareness of your totality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it is not just your flesh.
No. Mm-mm. No. And that there can be things that are true about me, I have cellulite, mm-hmm. but I'm also a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things can coexist in one body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's one thing if you're standing on that stage leading the class and you're not leading us to victory.
Right.
If you're leading us to looking at ourselves in the mirror and hating ourselves, mm-hmm. but if you're leading us to, you're powerful, you mm-hmm. can do it. I don't care if you have cellulite,
right?
You know, I don't like that's, and you know, this idea you mentioned just now of the wholeness, you know, that I'm not a contradiction, that I feel one thing and I also feel another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those things coexist inside of me. I can be a really gentle and loving mother,
mm-hmm.
but I can also be like a crazy person, mama. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, people say, oh, you're so nice. You're so calm. Oh, every time I'm around you, Lisa, you're just so, you're so peaceful. And I say, you just need to talk to my kids. They'll tell you. And they're like, right. No, really? Mm-hmm. I say, yes. Unfortunately, if you speak to my children, who are the closest to me, I guess mm-hmm. next to my mom, they will tell you more of the 360 degrees of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll say, oh, yeah, mom definitely loses it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, definitely. She doesn't sound like she's from Brooklyn most of the time, but you just piss her off. She'll sound just like she's from Brooklyn. And that girl lives inside of the one mm-hmm. that you're listening to on this podcast right mm-hmm. now. Those are both real.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
And it makes up who you are.
Right. And that, and that we have, and that we see that it's beautiful in ourselves will allow mm-hmm. us to leave room for it in other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the person that we love so much, when he or she does that great, great thing, when they leave the socks in the middle of the hallway, mm-hmm. that's really them too.
Right.
How can I leave room for both?
Mm-hmm.
How can I say, I love that every time I get in my car in the morning, it's a full tank. Mm-hmm. How is it that he or she fills my tank every day? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. how do I never have to go to the gas station? Never. Mm-hmm. I never go to the gas station. And those socks are in the middle of the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And that belongs to the same person that gets my mm-hmm. car and takes it to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
can I just leave room for the socks? Because it is so sexy, that gas, filling my tank with gas thing.
Right. So how do you feel? That's do true. You feel like while you're talking to me about this, towards
I'm
the
I'm making
tail,
all this up, by I the way. That. I don't know these people.
I love it.
I want to find the one who does the gas tank.
I've heard
damn,
these stories. I don't know them personally.
I mean, seriously.
Do you find, like, as you were finishing up saying that, I kept kind of saying to myself, okay, Anissa, where in your personality or in yourself, what is the part that leaves the socks that you don't love about yourself? Do you find that it's so much harder to honor the things in yourself that you don't, like, I don't even want to look at the socks in myself sometimes. Like, I don't even want to acknowledge that I know the socks are there. I left them. Uh-huh. And I don't even want to look at it because those parts of myself are so ugly to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, behaviors or mm-hmm. things I've done in my past, regrets that I have. What do you do to bring that totality, that place where you can look at it and bless it and honor it? Like you blessing mm-hmm. that instructor, what in yourself do you not, like, where do we find that? What do you do to have that moment with yourself, if you do anything?
I think I'm just starting that part of my journey, identifying what I don't love about me. And it does not feel good. However, to know myself deeply feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'll share with you, I'm facing right now, I'm not a decisive person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very flexible. I'm very, whatever you want. And I think I learned that to accommodate relationships in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I accommodated that for so long that now I'm at a place where I'm facing that I need to be decisive.
Mm-hmm.
And that decisiveness can be very attractive mm-hmm. to people who know you're a leader, right? It's strange. I think I have been told I tend to be a leader.
You are. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I am really good at following.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good little Indian. Mm-hmm. I've never really, the only time I'm a bad little Indian is if there's a terrible chief.
Mm-hmm.
Then right. I will just knock you down and take over. I cannot tolerate mm-hmm. bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But I really respect and admire good leadership and want to support it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dealing with right now, you must make decisions and you must clarify what you want. You must clarify it to yourself. Mm-hmm. So the initial response to that in myself is, you're so weak.
Mm-hmm.
You've let people run your life.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you? Which is a question I do not normally ask myself, and I don't allow it to be asked of others, right?
Right.
If I've ever heard anybody say that to my children, I immediately say, I've taught my kids, your answer to that is, there is nothing wrong with me.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or if I've heard it said, I just say, there's nothing wrong with, you know, fill in the blank.
Right.
Right? Because that's... But I said it to myself. What's wrong with you that you can't make a decision and just articulate? And then I have to back up and realize I learned that behavior
mm-hmm.
as a way of what I thought was surviving. And I wanted to survive so that I could thrive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm recognizing now, okay, you must make room for making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You can be courteous and loving and decisive all at the same time. And it takes a lot of work for me to know what I want.
Ugh, that's a huge one.
It's a huge thing.
Right. And again, I can beat myself up. What's wrong with you that you don't know what you want? But I just have not been leaning into that part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning or recognizing it's a muscle just like in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When people ask me, how do you learn all those lines? I always say, it's a muscle. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's a muscle. So just like in the gym, when you lift 10 pounds mm-hmm. last week and you lift, you know, you keep lifting 10 pounds, mm-hmm. in a month, you're going to lift 15 or 20 mm-hmm. pounds. It's not because you were born with, oh, I can lift 20 pounds. No.
Right.
So I am asking myself, one, don't beat yourself up that you've identified that you are indecisive. Recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace, okay, I've been indecisive in my life. And now, whew, I got to do the work of deciding what do I mm-hmm. want. And thinking I'm worthy to pursue it and receive mm-hmm. it, I think that's also something mm-hmm. I haven't really practiced,
mm-hmm.
is that I am worthy to decide what I want, mm-hmm. to state it, and to pursue it, and to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Oh, yes.
So I'm not there yet. I'm not there. And I feel like this is a long road.
And what's so interesting about that is, you know, we know Lisa from the gym and from Instagram. And I never would have in a million years thought that you didn't, you know, struggled with.
With that in, with particular, that in particular, being an actress mm-hmm. and.
And that's right there is some deep self-reflection, because, I mean, it's easy to say, well, you know, I'm not sure what I want, but to like really dissect it and know yourself. I mean, I'm sure that it's taken some time to like come to that. And then just as you said, it's going to take some time to
emerge.
From it. Mm-hmm.
The reason I love taking class is because you all tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to decide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the affirmation of executing what I'm told to do with excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But so this is very interesting, you deciding that you just took that. She told me on the way in that she is wanting to do some directing now. Oh, uh-huh. Directors make some decisions, girl, all mm-hmm. day long.
And I really, that's where I faced it in this 2-week intensive of learning how to direct. I faced in myself, I have trouble telling people, this is what I want and this is what it is.
Oh, mm-hmm. because they can't execute your vision.
If I don't
unless you tell them. Mm-hmm. what you're wanting.
And mm-hmm. I have to think that I'm worthy for them to execute my vision.
To exactly. ask them. To, yes, you have to mm-hmm. feel that you're worthy of asking them to do it.
Yes.
And that they will buy into what you're asking them to do.
Oh, so I love that.
That's to believe that I am worthy mm-hmm. to look at an artist and say, this is what I see mm-hmm. and I want this.
Mm-hmm.
And then to step back and allow them to execute it,
mm-hmm.
like that's...
Oh, don't you know God is going to give you the opportunity because this is your growth. Mm-hmm. So don't you know that you are going to get to direct because God will give you that mm-hmm. because that's how you need to grow.
Yes.
Ooh, we're going to see her name directed by Lisa yes. Arundel.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Here goes our timer. Oh, I just have to say...
Are we done?
What? Yes.
What?
I know, but we will have you come back.
Wow.
I will I tell you that.
Cool.
We're just
going to. This conversation was going to be, once again, it's just like mm-hmm. so much more than the girl crush.
Well, we.
What I thought this was going to be turned out to be so much mm. more.
Well, and I do want to backtrack for just a second because I don't think we formally introduced Lisa.
Oh, we didn't.
I mean, we just sort of alluded it. So Lisa's an actress. Soon to be director.
Yes.
I mean, she's done, I mentioned Law and Order, but she's done television and theater, and she's so beautiful and she, you know, hobnobs with. So we actually were, when Anissa and I were talking about this, we were like, okay, oh, we want to talk about what it's like to be a female and act in the acting world and Hollywood and being authentic to yourself and keeping who you are. But this was better than that.
So much better than that.
It was awesome. And yes, it's interesting. You know, you don't meet, I'm trying to think of how many people, you don't meet a whole lot of people, I don't think, that really truly have gotten to the, and you said you were just starting your journey, you know, like really dice. I, they're my socks that I don't want to look at that I know that are there, but it's one thing to like know those socks are there and not want to and keep pushing them and keeping them in the middle of the room without taking them to the laundry.
Oh, hell, I'm making
laundry,
a pile of socks sometimes.
Making a pile of socks. Then to embrace the socks and know you want to get rid of them and just starting that journey to try to figure it out, you know?
I can't wait to watch the vignettes that are coming after this, girl.
Ooh. And yes. I'm similar to Lisa where there are times though I look back in my life where I was just so laid back, where I was just, you know, I'm good with whatever. It's fine. And then when you get to the point where, you know, you're not good with it anymore, but people are now used to you being good with everything. So, you know, you don't have to ask Ellen. She's good with whatever. And then when you want to start asking for what you want,
it's the pushback
or they dismiss it because they know you're just so easy. It's just fine. She's going to be good with whatever. And I'm kind of the opposite where now that I've listened to you, where I've become more aggressive. Like I think of it, there are times where I'm way too aggressive and now I have to dial it back, but I didn't realize where that was coming from until I sat here and listened to you. And I thought, gosh, you know, it's like the one of five children who, the youngest of five children, who's constantly having to fight for, you know, the last
word
cookie
in edgewise
or the last this and listen to me. And, but I've gone past that on, I'm too aggressive at times.
Where and I think I've done that too.
Yeah.
I think I've done that
this
too.
This is
I think
me. Listen to me.
My daughter said to me, you know, you're lecturing me a lot lately. Right. And I said, it's because I said something and it's not being executed. And I feel like I've been wavering and kind of leaving lots of room for whenever it's going to happen and whatever you want. And so I think that I'm going further and it can be hurtful, right? The aggression.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't.
The tone. I think my
tone
sometimes. Yeah.
I identify with that and I have to learn, but I think the aggression comes because I don't think I'm worthy of asking for what I want.
Ooh.
Right. So I have to fight for what I want instead of this is what I want and this is when it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. This is the time frame and that's it.
And then wait to be worthy to receive it.
Be ready to receive it.
I love that.
This has been so good.
We were so lucky to have Lisa
because she's been traveling a lot and she's been doing some things. So we definitely want to have you back.
I would love to. I was so like when I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, I can sit with them now. I can sit with them."
This you are one real authentic woman. We love you.
Well, and then just the way your tone and your voice is like, oh,
beautiful.
I know.
You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit atlpn.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com. And on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and now on our favorite, Spotify.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa Ellen Raw to find our show.
And you can find Lisa. Give us your handle on Instagram.
Lisa, L-I-S-A, Arindell, A-R-R-I-N-D-E-L-L.
We'll put it in the show notes. And
please,
you've got to watch.
If
and we'll
you,
tag you.
If you, yes, do tag me. But if you start following me, please let me know that you listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know that you connected through these two beautiful women.
Oh,
it's very cute. Please let me know just that,
need to follow her Instagram because she posts these wonder. I mean, I had to go back and watch all the other videos. Mm-hmm. They're so good.
So
they're
uplifting.
So good. Uplifting and beautiful. Thank you.
And you can find Instagram at Anissa Ellen Raw. I'm at Anissa Amison.
And I'm Ellen Nickel.
Ellen Nickel. And then our private Facebook group, Anissa and Ellen Raw, Real Authentic Women, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's where some of the magic happens. And thank you for coming in. This has been delightful.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so uplifted.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes.
I'm so honored.
And you know, if you're uplifted, that's God, right? Like, it's definitely I say this on the Instagram post. I say it all the time. You're exactly what God had in mind. It's very, to know that he made you, like, that you, we are his imagination. Mm-hmm. And that this connection, this love and joy, it's because we recognize that sameness. Mm-hmm.
The divinity in each other.
Yes. The divinity. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. That. It's definitely that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Peace.